dated my first daughter, and we've known each other all these years. In my opinion, I've had my share of camp meetings, but some of the greatest camp meetings and services I've been in, he was called upon to preach and to minister, and the Lord used him on the field for 35, 40 years. That's enough to go insane, but God was good, and I want you to welcome my friend, Brother Glenn Coulter.
God's good, isn't he? Aren't you glad he's alive? I mean, he's really alive. It's great to be here today, and boy, to see the improvement over the years, the last few years of this building and building next door and the crowds building up. That comes through ministry. Amen? And I've known Dennis quite a long while, and I got to make sure that I preach everything right this morning because he is a student of the Word. And he's doing a great job pastoring here, and I'm sure everybody's pleased with him. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because sometimes you got some that they're not really sure. I've got some of those, but we're all still here together. Amen. Bob, it's good to realize that all these years, I see some of you still here waiting for his coming. Can I tell you something? He's coming. They tell me now in the books that I've been reading lately that there's a surge coming in the churches, and Lord knows we need it. And they say that surge is that people inside the house of God has become dissatisfied. Because they want the materialistic blessing, but we've got that. We've got that just living in America. But all of this Muslim business taking place and the killings and the beheadings and the murders, it's causing people inside the church to begin to wake up a little bit and say, wait, where are we at? I'll tell you where we are. We're either on the verge of destruction or we're on the surge of a move of God's divine spirit. Amen? Well, let me read you a scripture and we'll go into the Word. And how many today would say to me, preacher, let's do what God wants to do this morning? How many is ready to do that? How many has ever been in a Pentecostal Holy Ghost move of the Spirit? You ever been there? I know some of you have because I was here in the 50s when M.F. Corn was here and preached the crusade. That's been a long time ago. But you know, we need that surge. We need that move of that Spirit. We need that undertowing of the presence of God. Let me read you in Matthew, the 17th chapter. And before I read this, let me explain this chapter. Jesus is getting ready to go up to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And as he gets ready to go up, he knows that it's going to be different than any mountain he's ever been on. He knows he's going to be transfigured. He knows he's going to be almost translucent in the power of God's divine presence on him. There's an Old Testament law that says, if anything supernatural or out of the ordinary is going to take place, it must be in the presence of at least two or three witnesses. That was the Old Testament law. Jesus, knowing that, before he goes up to the mountain knowing what's going to happen to him, decides, I better take three witnesses with me so we can write this down if they pull out the law to use it on somebody. Aren't you glad that the God we serve is always ahead of everybody else? So he takes Peter, James, and John, and they go up to this mountainside, and let me read to you something that happened. Said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart. was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as a light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking, not spirits, talking with him. Wow. Can you believe that? Now we've got three to bear witness from the earth, and now we've got three witnesses to bear from heaven. And the word said, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I'm thankful to God he didn't allow that. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. When they had lifted up, they saw no man. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. Father, I ask you to anoint me this morning. I ask you to let me feel your divine presence and walk in the divine anointing of God. Let it be also sure that whatever happens today, it'll happen because of Calvary. Some here today, Lord, hungry for the Holy Spirit. Some here today are going through financial difficulties and they're going through hard times. And we're all, as a church body, living under the very presence of an Antichrist. But we know he cannot take over as long as the prayers of the saints of God prevail. I thank you for that. And now, God, I ask you to let your divine presence, oh, that I may feel you, that I may touch you, that I may understand you today. Would you do something with me? I don't know why I feel like I'm feeling, but I'm very nervous. That's usually because the Holy Spirit is trying to manipulate and move us around to where we can walk into his presence. Did you know that? Would you just lift your hands and let's just thank God that we are filled with the power of his Spirit. Would you do it? Father, I know when I feel your presence. And today, Lord, in this church, and I know this church from times gone by, we have no problem with praising you. Everybody praise him for just a little while. Father, we thank you now. We thank you now for what you're going to do. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God. Let us be filled with your presence. Let the building be electrified with your divine Spirit. Let your healing power take place. Let the Holy Spirit come on those that are not filled with your Spirit today, that we may speak a heavenly language and praise and glorify and magnify God. Let me talk a little while before we have our altar meeting together about three bearing witness in the tabernacle. When they went out to this hillside, we understand that when they were there, and I read you the story, the transformation has taken place in the body of Christ. And when he's standing there, the Bible said that Peter looked up, John looked up, and a cloud had covered over that hillside. Have you ever been in a service when a cloud just hung over the place and it was the glory of God? The word said that when that cloud came into their presence, it brought with them a man by the name of Elijah, and another man by the name of Moses. Now remember, Moses has been dead for 1,500 years. They don't even know where they buried him. They don't know where he's been located to this day. And Elijah had been gone 800 years, and they looked for him for days and weeks and could not find him. But Jim, we find him over in the book of Matthew after being translated for 800 years. Wow. Moses had been dead for 1,500 years. You know what that represents? That tells me if I have to go like Moses by death, I'm going to make it. It lets me know that if I go by translation and the catching away of the church, I'm going to make it. Live or die, Bob, we have it made. Oh, they said, you think it has a significance. Can you imagine that you yourself had been in the Old Testament and you was one that went out to look for Elijah when he was translated and they needed him. They wanted to call him back. They wanted him to prophesy some more. They wanted him to lead them, but he's gone. Just like our friend Jim Davis' wife, she's gone, but she's really not gone. We know where she is. We know where she abides. And we know she's going to return. But in this analogy, we want to find out what I'm talking about when I talk about three bearing witness in the tabernacle. You see, when we understand this word and we realize that there was always three working together from Genesis clear over to the book of Matthew. In the Old Testament, you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You had Moses, Aaron, and Joshua. You come to the New Testament, you got Peter, James, and John. But beyond that, you've got three that's never crossed one another at one time. And it is the Father, it is the Son, and it is the Holy Ghost. Never have they crossed. They've been like one, working together. Is there a possibility that these three personalities have a tabernacle they can live in today? Is there a possibility? If you'll help me this morning, we'll find out that there's three personalities that lives in this place we're in today. You look into this word of God. You try to determine in your life, what is it that's so great about it? We all have trouble. We all have difficulty. We all go through storms and we all go through things in life that want to pull us down. But I got news for you this morning. When you look also into the Old Testament, when it came over and talked about the New Testament tabernacle, what did it say? It said, "Behold now, the tabernacle of God is with man." Yeah. Really? You mean this is not our tabernacle? You mean this building of sheetrock and wood is not our tabernacle? No, it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, every time they took up what they called the tent of the tabernacle, when they moved that, there was a glory cloud that led them by day, and there was a ball of fire that led them by night. But watch what happens. It said when they set up the tent of the tabernacle, it said the cloud would abide over. Now that's the glory cloud. That glory cloud would abide over that part of the tabernacle that bore the testimony of the Lord. Really? You mean to tell me it didn't cover the whole tabernacle? No, the Bible said where they put the testimonies, it said the glory cloud would come down and rest over that part of the tabernacle. So that means something to me, because now in this life, if behold, I am now the tabernacle of God and I have a testimony inside of me, then I have a glory cloud that hangs over me. Where'd everybody go? Huh? Yeah. So when I come to church, I don't come in here saying, "Lord, you're here." No. When I come to church, if I've got a testimony, I've got a glory cloud that hangs over my tabernacle, because it hangs over that part of the tabernacle that bears the testimony of the Lord. Some of you men would have been drunkards and alcoholics if it had not been for the fact you discovered what your tabernacle really was. Some of you have been totally lost if you'd lived under the ancestry of the tabernacle of your father or your mother. But somewhere along the line, you found that place that you brought your tabernacle to God, put it on the altar, and said, "Lord, here I am. Let my tabernacle have a testimony inside that I'm washed in the blood." Yeah. So, Wherever I go, wherever I'm at, my tabernacle, if it has a testimony in it, it has a glory cloud that follows it. Have you ever seen some people? They come to church, look like they've lost their best friend. They come in, drag in, and they drag out. There's a problem with that. That doesn't mean they're lost. That doesn't mean they don't know God. It means sometimes that some of us just go through a struggle and we can't lift our head up, and we need somebody that's got a true testimony in their tabernacle that walks over and says to them, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that when you're around people that don't even know God, and everything can be down, they can tell their dirty jokes around you and you hear them in a distance, they can curse, they can make fun, but when somebody starts to talk about the Lord, oh, I like what David said. I'll encourage myself in the Lord. Nobody around me, nobody to help me. You know what you start doing? You just start talking about God. When all your jobs are going wrong and everything's going downhill, then you have to discover, I've got my breath, I've got my life, I've got my tabernacle, and I've got the glory. What else do I need? So we have discovered now that on this hillside, they're talking about three. I'm talking about three bearing witness in the tabernacle. Let me show you another little illustration. When we read the science books, or even when we study and read the Word of God, we find out that Paul said he was caught up into the third or the uppermost heaven. Remember reading that? He didn't know how long he stayed there, but he knew he had ascended into something glorious. Now, if we want to take a little analogy here, let's talk about these three heavens. Let's talk about three bearing witness in our tabernacle. The first heaven would be the atmosphere around us where the birds make their lodging, made up of three: hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. Second heaven, they found it, called it the planetorial heaven. Three major components: the sun, the moon, and the stars. But Bob, there's a third heaven they've never found. Never found it with a microscope or a telescope. And that third heaven is still made up of three major components: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then the Bible said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Come on, church, wake up. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where does heaven come? It comes when the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost moves into this tabernacle. What makes me get emotional? Not me. It's that Holy Spirit that is within me. What makes me cry in church? It's not me. I'm a man. I'm not supposed to cry. But when that presence of the third heaven gets to moving inside of this earthly tabernacle, Sister Watson, something takes place. If it doesn't, we need to get a new dose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because it says, walk as if though your conversation was already in what? Already in heaven. Wow. Well, I'm about to get loosened up now. You won't have me back. Well, yeah, I'm going to be here tonight. But I'll find out if you like me or not by that, huh? Now, understand that when this Father and this Son and this Holy Spirit moves into an earthly tabernacle. It can be full of every kind of a sin you want to. But if you let those three personalities come into your tabernacle, it'll clean you up. I said it'll clean you up and make you want to desire to be in God's house. Hello. Now, when these three get inside, I remember, anybody ever remember when you first got, I mean, you really first found God? Anybody remember that? Well, there's only about one. She's back here. None of you ever remember? How many remembers when you got saved? All right, I got a few of you. Huh? Now, when this third heaven drops down into my tabernacle, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. Ordinarily, I can't walk holy. Did you know that? Ordinarily, I can't be righteous. And if I don't pray, and if I don't study, and I don't wait on God, even while they're inside of my tabernacle, I'll have a tendency to do things I'm not supposed to do. That's the reason you have to have the Holy Spirit alive and working inside of your tabernacle. Somebody said to me, don't get excited. Don't get to moving around too much. Don't get too loud. And we've got people in Pentecost now gauging everything about how loud you are, how quiet you are, how you look, how you dress, how you act. Wouldn't it be good to just come to an altar today, all of us together, not caring what anybody looks like, and just raise our hands and say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, come into my tabernacle. Wouldn't it be good to do that again? Instead of just sitting around trying to figure people out, trying to figure out, well, does he look all right? Do you think that one? Don't make it. I don't care if I got the biggest gossipers in this church. You cannot shut down the move of God inside of me if I allow the Holy Ghost to get up and walk around inside of my tabernacle. Because when that happens, there's a movement on the outside that you don't see on the inside. Hallelujah. Boy, you guys act like a bunch of Baptists, huh? I'm going to wake you up in a little bit. We've got plenty of time to wake you up. But let me show you something. Now, if this is the tabernacle, I said, if this is the tabernacle, I've got to find a way to protect it. Did you know the other little guy that's got his house with him? The other fellow that's got his house on him? It's the old snapping turtle. Anybody know what one is? Oh, Lord, in Arkansas and Texas, we used to have fun with them when we was kids. You see, when God made that turtle, he didn't make him like the rabbit. That old rabbit, when a sudden hailstorm come, that old rabbit would take off and get to shelter. No. Not that turtle. He can't move that fast. And God knew that when he made him. So he said to the old snapping turtle, I'm going to put your house on you. And when a sudden storm comes and you're not ready for it, just pull in your front feet, pull in your back feet, close up your tabernacle and sit there till the storm is over. Can I tell you a little story? This is my tabernacle and I've got it walking with me. And when a sudden hailstorm comes from the devil and from people and from the adversary, you know what I do? Inside of my tabernacle is my protection. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost lives and dwells in there and says all you got to do is sit still, pull yourself inside of where I live and abide, and I'll protect you. Well, I'm about to get you now. Do you understand why God comes down to live in us? He comes down to live in us that he may live through us and give us victory over anything that comes. Yeah. I understand that this old turtle that we used to deal with in Arkansas on the railroad track, we'd antagonize him. We'd get a stick and put it in front of him and just kind of antagonize him. But he never closed up on us fully. He just didn't like the agitation. I want to tell you something about the adversary. He's an agitator. I said, he's an agitator. He'll work on your mind. He'll work on your spirit. Right now, with our government in chaos, not just our government, there's chaos around the world. And we've been preaching all these years that the spirit of Antichrist is here. It is, and I know that. The spirit of Antichrist is here greater in force than it's ever been. It's in our government. It's in our halls. It's in every place that you move. It's in our schools. The Antichrist spirit is here. But God said, Glenn Coulter, as long as you are there and you're still washed in my blood and you still pray, I will restrain him from taking over. Oh, God, church, we got it made. Did you know that? I'm about to get excited. I don't get to do this at home because they just sit there and look at me. But you know what? We need to understand that inside of our tabernacle lives the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that we may walk in victory. I'm not concerned about who's got the largest church or who's got the smallest church. I'm not going to compare this or compare that. I can tell you one thing, when I cannot move any further, I begin to lay out before God, and my heavenly language that I don't understand, it begins to talk to God. I don't know what it's saying. Heavenly days, it's still a mystery to me. But I do know one thing. After I've talked to God in the heavenly language for a little while, it's not long till the muscles in my inside spirit begins to build up. I don't know what I've told God. I've probably told God, Glenn's been this and Glenn's been that, and he needs to get up and get going. I don't know what I say when I talk in a heavenly language, but I know it works. How many know it works? How many believes it's real? Now, I remember days gone by, and I don't like to say that days gone by because I've had some glorious days, but I really believe they're in a day when this surge that they're starting to feel is, and you know, we feed people coffee, we feed them donuts, we'll give them steak, we'll do anything, we'll stand on our head, we'll have a musician, we'll do anything to get people out to the house of God. But I've decided entertainment for me is over. If men and women that are born again don't like to come to church, they need to have a surge of the Holy Spirit. Hey, come on. Now, I'm not putting down your donuts, and I'm not putting down your coffee. Can you look at me and tell I enjoy that? But that's not my biggest priority. That's not your biggest priority. You know, when we understand that as sure as that old snapping turtle takes out across the railroad track and a sudden storm comes and it can't get to any kind of shelter, it just sets down, pulls itself in, and waits till the storm is over. My question is this. Have you had times in your life when, I mean, everything was so good? Just going great. Finances is fine. House payments are paid. Little money in the bank to go to the store. Everything just running right along. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get a phone call. Something's wrong with the daughter. Something's wrong with your son. There's been a car wreck. There's been a disruption now of this calmness. It's the devil. Don't say circumstances. It's the devil that doesn't want you to enjoy. But aren't you glad that when that happens, you can pull inside and set yourself down in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And sit there like God said and wait until the storm is over. How many in this room believes what I'm saying? I want to say way up, way up. How many in the room does speak a heavenly language? Now, if you don't, that does not mean you're not saved. Salvation is what takes you to heaven. The Holy Ghost is what gives you power to live righteous easier in life. Salvation gets you to heaven. That's all that's required. But if you want power to seal your salvation, do it like Paul said in Ephesians. He said, now that I've believed, I've sealed my salvation by the Holy Spirit. See, the devil can't get to my salvation now unless he breaks a seal. And it takes a lot of work to break a seal. You have to get a lot of authority to break a seal. So if my salvation is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, when I get into trouble and the devil comes to get me to carry me away from the church, he's got a problem. He's got to break the seal first. And as long as I've got my hands up and I'm praising and I'm magnifying God, he's not going to be able to break my seal. How many speaks a heavenly language? Let me see your hand again. I want to see everybody. My Lord, we got nothing here to get Campbell saved. Huh? Anybody in here, be honest enough, just lift your hand and say, I don't speak in tongues, but I would like to. You put your hand up. Amen. There's several of you. Now, the Holy Spirit is just is the same with you that's not filled as it is with us that speak a heavenly language. The only difference between us and you is we speak and you're not allowed to let that spring of well break loose and come out and manifest itself. Salvation and the Holy Spirit and the Father, they all come in at the same time. Yes. Am I right so far?
Am I okay?
If I have any conflict, I'll have it with him afterwards. But he's not hesitant to tell you what he believes, and that's wonderful. But the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit lives in here. Now, when I speak a heavenly language, it doesn't mean I'm greater than your salvation. It means that it's going to edify my body. Some of you old timers still with me? When I speak a heavenly language, the Bible says it is edifying my spirit. Builds me up. And when you get enough people talking in tongues and speaking a heavenly language, man, anything can happen. I had a big row of Baptist people come in one time where I was preaching a crusade. And the man who brought them said to me, we're not here to criticize. We're here to find out why you shout, why you praise God. We're here to try to figure out what this unknown tongue is. I said to them, you're at the right place. We're still trying to figure it out too. You know what? They came in. They sat about three rows back, and I'm starting my message. And as I begin my message, I seen these Baptist people, they were getting more excited than the Pentecostals that, you know, isn't it an amazing thing how Pentecostals, when they're all together, man, they can tear the house down. But when you got a bunch of visitors, cool it down. But you know, visitors that come to our churches, they're coming because they're looking for something out of the ordinary. And did you know what? Right in the middle of my sermon, I had to quit. That whole Baptist family, it was, all the way across that pew, begin to raise their hands one at a time, and they begin to speak a heavenly language. What done that? I was the catalyst to cause them to realize that if you'll just begin to praise him, 90% of all people that I've ever dealt with, and I've had thousands, 90% that everybody, even in this room, before you ever spoke a heavenly language, you could hear it in here. Before you spoke it out here. Am I right? So that means that when we come into his presence and we allow that third heaven to come down into us, it gives us the power to walk. What did he say? Walk as if though your conversation was already in heaven. Our dear sister Davis, who just passed over, has just given us a glimpse of what's going to be there. I was preaching in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Assembly of God Church. 32 people arrived at the church from the Methodist Church. They came in buses. They brought them in a busload. They came in, and I said to the pastor, "Who is this bunch?" He said, "Well, Glenn," he said, they're all from the Methodist Church," and said, they've heard about our meeting, and we've reserved the whole front three rows for them." And let me tell you something about Pentecost. It's not all in shout. Pentecost wasn't just a religion. Pentecost was a celebration. Speaking in the heavenly language is a celebration. Well, they brought him in, and he said, "They're here to just to inquire." I said, "To inquire about what?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know, all of these healings has taken place, and over these has received the Holy Ghost, and they just want to know what it's all about." Because you see, when you get a fire built in a church, churches around the area will come to that fire because they once knew what it was, and they'd like to have it again. Did you know that night, when I got through preaching, the guy that was in charge of that 32, I got ready to give him an altar call, and he asked me to come down. He done this to me. Well, you know, okay. So I went down, and he said, "Are you going to lay hands on people?" I said, "Yeah, I'm getting ready to do that now." But he said, are you going to give them the Holy Ghost? I said, "Well, I can't do that." But I said, "If they're hungry enough, the Holy Spirit will take charge." "Oh," he said, "good." And I no sooner than got back to the pulpit, he got them a row at a time, brought them out, lined them up. And this is what he said to them, the leader of the bunch. Now remember, the leader of the bunch is from the Methodist Church also, and he does not speak a heavenly language. Have you ever been in a church where the Holy Spirit got so real, everybody just got light? They didn't want to go home, they didn't want to eat, they just stayed at church. Well, I still got 25 minutes, if I'm going to go to 12, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to have a great altar meeting in just a minute, and God's going to do something. I've kind of rambled in my thought pattern this morning. You know why? The Holy Spirit is ready to do something. I've watched this church, and I said to my wife, this church is going to move out once again with crowds like they've never seen. If we can just let that Holy Spirit take charge of us. Okay? Have you ever seen some Holy Spirit people come to church and get mad and go home? Have you ever? Huh? I had one over at my church, absolutely, in the presence of the moving of the Holy Ghost, got mad at somebody and zip out the door they went. How can you do that? Let's get mad before we come to church and then get it straightened out, but let's not get mad here and go out the door. Well, it's back to quiet now, but you know what? God wants to do something in the local Pentecostal churches. He's trying once again to get that surge going to where we forget about time and just say, "God, have your way." Did you know what? I started laying hands on these Methodist people, and they have never had hands laid on them. They don't know anything about what we're doing, and that's usually the best. It's when you educate yourself how you're going to speak that you have a hard time. I reached over and laid hands on the man that was standing there, and he fell and began to speak a heavenly language. Well, I started laying hands on people, and they began to fall out talking in tongues. This old Assembly of God church had the greatest revival it had had in 20-something years. Do you know why? The Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the third person of the Godhead, was allowed to have its way. Can we still do that? Can old Calvary still do that? Can we still get out of the way and not have our own way and say, "God, let's do it your way"? Can we still do that? Jim, are we ready? Bob, are you ready? Is everybody ready to let once again the Holy Spirit just take over?
Glory to God.
We used to see clouds in the church, which represented the glory. We've actually seen fire come from the pulpit. But today, they want me to be quiet. They want me to settle down. Palo Alto don't want me to be loud. They don't want me to be emotional. So I said, forget it. I'll go over to Calvary and I'll get as emotional as I want. Are you with me? Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Let's get out of the old rut and say, God, do it your way. I've sat with your pastor, who's a friend of mine, and we've wept together, and we said, oh God, when will we ever come back to that surge of the Holy Ghost that moves men and women toward God? In my closing, we're going to get ready to come to the altar, and we're going to all come. And we're going to all come and stand in His presence. Let me tell you why I do that. It's a camaraderie with people when they come together and that Holy Spirit begins to move. And remember, when Jesus left in the first chapter of Acts, He promised the Holy Spirit. They received it in the second chapter. They used it in the third chapter. They're put in jail in the fourth chapter. The fifth chapter, Gamaliel comes to the Sanhedrin court. Gamaliel is a great, great lawyer. The word said he's known all around the community. They've got John and Peter in jail because of the miracles that were happening, especially of the lame man sitting at the gate. And Peter said, such as I have, give by thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he did. Why? Why? Why did that happen? He was sitting there when Peter went into the upper room. But when Peter came back out of the upper room, he had so much glory and power in him, he looked at that man and said, I'm sorry I missed you going in. But coming back out, I got something that was going to cause you to get up and walk. Did you know that Gamaliel made a statement? That statement was this before the Sanhedrin court. He said, fellas, I want to tell you something. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do with Peter and with John. But you got to remember in the days of Judas and how that they taxed and everybody thought he was God. But said that teaching and that preaching came to halt. Gamaliel said it's the same thing with Peter. If this thing's of God, you can't stop it. But if it's not, it'll come to naught. My, my, my. It must have been real. We still have it today. Stand with me, please. Everybody standing, please. Lord, I have friends here today, and I've got extremely emotional in my spirit. And it's not because I'm trying to stir up somebody to be emotional. I just want your presence.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We pastors are getting tired. And we're getting weary. And we need a surge of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We need a move of the divine power of God. Master, I pray. I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask everybody that doesn't speak a heavenly language and you would love to, I would like for you to be the first ones to lead us out to come to the altar. Then all of us are going to come together and we're going to have a move of God. Come on, sir, yes. And you, all of you that do not speak a heavenly language, come and stand with me. Just come and stand. That's it. Just come and stand right here. Isn't it marvelous to see men step out? Say, I want the power of God to move. I said to Dennis, I said, Dennis, when I come, I'm over here all the time with Dennis, or he's at my place. We visit a lot. I said, I'd like to just talk about the Holy Spirit. And if there's anybody there, we'll get them full of a heavenly language. While the others are gathering around, would you come a little bit closer? I want everybody in the auditorium to come. Come and stand with everybody. If you're not able to, but I'd like for everybody to come. You that have the Holy Spirit, you that know about what I'm talking about, just come and stand. Brethren, I want to tell you something. You've heard me preach what I had on my heart. But in just a little while, there's going to be a move in this auditorium. The greatest meetings I've ever had is when people gather around the altar like this. 90% of all of us, to you three that need the Holy Spirit, 90% of all of us heard in our mind the formation of our words before we ever spoke them. That means that the Holy Ghost is in you, wanting to manifest itself out of you. And what you have to do is just begin to release and put your words together and speak it out to the Father. Are you still with me? It's not a false doctrine I'm talking about. I'm talking about letting the Holy Spirit pray through us. Now, to all of you that have the baptism, God. This man in the middle here with stammering lips and other tongues, so is Donnie. They're right on the verge of just letting the river flow. And church, it's up to us to allow the Holy Spirit in us to flow. Let's worship, let's worship, let's worship. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. If you want to pray with one of them, come on up and let's get through to God. Let's get through to God one more time. The power, somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. praise you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Holy, holy Lord. Hila la mado la rabamai. Take us, Lord. I want to explain something, then I'm going to give it to your pastor. To you that are down here, some of you spoke a heavenly language under your breath. That's fine. And tonight, if you will allow me, and if you'll all come, 6 o'clock, I'll have a service by 6:30, right? I'll have it by 6:30. I'd like to talk about stammering lips. What is stammering lips? What is stammering lips? Let's talk about that tonight. What does it mean when he said, I'll talk to you with stammering lips and other tongues? You know what that really means? It means that your baby that's starting to talk is stammering and stuttering. And then after a while, bingo, they put all of the sentences together and you can't stop them. Right? It's the same way with you that are here. Some of you got stammering lips. Some of you spoke a heavenly language, especially the one in the center. Don't know you, but I heard you, listen to you, and I know. But see, I never tell anybody, never do I say, you've got it. You don't got anything. He's a spirit. He's in you. He's a person. And since I'm going to take this tonight, I will not embarrass anybody. I'll just continue on with this infilling. And you know what? There's no limit to what can happen if we just come hungry. Is there anybody here hungry? Oh, hallelujah. One more time. Let's lift our hands and thank him for his presence, would you? Father, I thank you. I thank you for these people that are hungry. We're praying for tonight's service that it'll be power-packed with the glorious anointing of God. Tonight will be a supernatural move of your divine grace. We can't make it happen, but we can preach till it does happen. Because it's your word. God, it's your word. God, it's your word. It's your word. Aramando corribie son dalla mamaya. Pelamoroso lamoriende loro mamaya. Che le mando so. Che le mi andoro moria satai, me che la mando la poriese te. O Lamb of God, in your presence, let us dwell in your presence. Let us pull ourselves inside of our tabernacle and be filled with the glory. I don't know what God's doing. But there's people here that's tired of just being who you are. And you need to let go of yourself. I'm not anything but the Word of God. There's people here have been struggling. You don't know which way to turn. But God has the answer. We've just quit searching for it. We've got so busy. Preachers have got so busy. Doing everything but filling the altar with the power of God. So you come back tonight and let's be on time and let's have a real Holy Ghost move. All right? Did you do that? God bless you. Dennis. Hallelujah.
Could I get some ushers and we're going to receive a love offering? I know Jesus said, come without money, come without price. You can't buy this, but you do give with a grateful heart to the blessings that God has so richly bestowed upon us. Sometimes the dam breaks all at once. Sometimes the ice thaws kind of one little spot. Pretty soon it starts warming up and everything just moves out of the way. I kept seeing in my mind's eye a river just flowing and things breaking loose. And believe that with me, would you please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we're going to receive more of this evening. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless this offering. May it come from hearts that are grateful to your wonderful blessings. May people give what you impress upon them to do, and you will bless those. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Give us unto the Lord, and he will always give back. Give, and it shall be given. That is a divine, heavenly law. Amen. Amen.